We are just about a month away from electing members to the city council, plus a few other things on the ballot in Lane County this month coming up, or next month coming up. So joining me today are the three candidates for city council, Maureen Miltenberger, Woody Woodbury, and Geraldine Lucio. And there are two seats available and three people running. So, you know, one of you is going to be out of luck here in about a month or so. But, hey, let's find out a little bit about each of you. Maureen, let's start with you since you're on my left here. Tell me a little bit about your background.
My background is that I'm a native Oregonian, number one. I grew up in Newport, was born in North Bend, and decided to retire here. So I did a lot of work in the Valley. But when I came here, I thought, wow, I need to get involved in my community. I've got a lot of background working with people and working with cities.
Okay. Now, Woody, you recently owned a grocery outlet. You retired this last year.
Correct.
And the opportunity came up for you to sit on city council. Tell me a little bit about your background other than grocery outlet. I think most people know you from grocery outlet.
Yeah, I came here, and I've been very involved with the city since I've been here. I was on FURA, Urban Renewal Agency, for 5 years. I was a president of the chamber for 2 years and on the board for seven. So I've done a lot of public work here in town, and now I've had be coming up in almost a year on the city council.
And our third member looking for a seat on the city council is Geraldine Lucio. Now, Geraldine, tell me a little about your background.
So I grew up in Texas, and I moved to the Oregon coast about 4 years ago. I opened Old Town Barbershop right down Old Town about 3 years ago.
What interested you about the city council race?
I just thought of it as an opportunity to better the community and a way to let my voice be heard.
Maureen, same question. What was it that attracted you about the city council race?
I've been involved in the city for the last couple of years as an EMAC person, which is the Environmental Management Advisory Committee. I'm currently the chair of that. And in that position, I've been involved in a lot of the council meetings and workshops and those kinds of things. And I've also been really involved in like the housing issues, several different meetings and committees involving that. So when I got to thinking about what I wanted to do with my time now that I'm retired, I thought it would be a really good idea to be more involved in the city and from all the different aspects rather than just the couple of things that I was involved in through the environmental and housing areas.
Now, Woody, you kind of touched on some of the things you did with the city and work you did with the Chamber of Commerce. What is it, though, about city council? You've been on it almost a year now. What is it about that makes you want to run again?
Well, I've enjoyed it, first of all, and it's been a real learning experience, even with my background with the city through FURA. But it's so many interesting topics right now, and it's the momentum that the city council has working now that with the staff moving forward on so many different projects and successfully. This really makes me want to stay in there and see it to fruition.
Now, one of the things that happened recently, July 1st, of course, the 1051 came into effect, SB 1051 came into effect. It was said that we had to provide affordable housing for folks. Now, this is something, you know, that can be a hot button because, you know, there's a certain amount of growth that people like, a certain amount of growth that people don't like. Maureen, what is your take on the affordable housing availability and the plan to allow residents to have more than one property?
I was really involved in kind of the education meetings when the accessory housing thing came through. So, of course, we all know that Florence needs any kind of housing they can get. We need a well-balanced kind of housing because you need people that are, you know, are professional support people, people that want to come in that just can't come in because there's housing. I was just coming to the Planning Commission meetings where they were talking about the First Step program that the Presbyterian Church is doing, where they're allowing families to live in trailers that have children, because currently we have a lot of families that are living in cars or hopping from house to house because they don't have houses here. So I encourage any of that kind of thing we can do for our city to allow our families to live off the streets and in comfortable housing.
Geraldine, it's kind of the same question to you. One of the things I've heard over the past year and a half, 2 years, is that, you know, there's a lot of homeless students. There's a lot of couch surfing that goes on with students in the school and that. You know, what is your take on the accessory dwelling units?
I think it's an awesome option. I think the city really needs to do something about the housing issue. I personally have friends that haven't been able to find an affordable place to live that have migrated out of the area.
Do you feel like we're losing potentially good people to work and live here because we don't have that availability?
I think so, yes.
What do you have about you?
Yeah, it's right across the board. because Maureen was saying we at all levels we need more housing. Right now, the last study that the council saw showed a need of about 500 homes in all ranges. We have some that are going to be in the middle and upper range housing going in right now, but for the most part, lower income, the working class, the hourly people don't have a place to live. It's having been a business owner, trying to find help that has a home and doesn't have to travel. I've had people live as far away as Deadwood, coming into work every day. So it's a real issue. Right now, the hospital needs 45. They have 45 openings for professionals, and there's no place for them to live.
Yeah, that's
so
gotta be
right across the board.
Yeah, more.
I was the homeless children's liaison in the Mullalla River School District, which is in the valley, and we had a huge amount of people that were homeless, families that were homeless, and teenagers that were homeless. And that was a community that had housing. We had a lot of apartments available, and to be in a community that you've got these families that don't have, and we don't have the housing available, is very discouraging. But I know the city is working on it, and I know that the community is really behind getting any kind of housing we can for people.
Geraldine, as a business person, you know, what things do you bring to the table, you know, that will make a successful council person?
As a successful small business owner here in Florence, I think just being able to hear all the concerns that come in and out of the barbershop, and, you know, everybody from young to senior citizens come to me with their issues, and I'm able to have a voice for them.
If I could ask, what are some of the things that you're hearing from the community?
Affordable housing, property theft. You know, housing is a big issue right now, so I would like to see that issue.
Now, the city recently, correct me if I'm wrong, what do you know because you're on the council, just sort of passed an ordinance that would kind of help to take care of some of the camps around here that might make it a little bit certain areas where you can camp, certain areas where you can't camp. Is the homeless issue also part of the affordable housing issue as far as, you know, people that come into town, or is that different? Is that a different issue?
They're kind of combined. We have the people that are looking for housing that want to have a job here. Then we have the more indigent group that one of the reasons that we passed that last ordinance on camping was because of some of the issues and some of the problems it was bringing to business owners, myself included. So we have to address that as well. But the city is doing the airport road project, which will bring 12 houses in, small dwellings, up to 3 bedrooms. And they'll top out at around $170,000. The land will still be owned by the city because the city owns it now. It'll be on a 99-year lease. But the properties will actually go to people that qualify, retired people, people looking for jobs, the hourly workers, people that just need a place to stay and live. And they'll have a sense of ownership at the same time, so that should really help considerably.
Will this give the opportunity for example, say you've got an elderly couple that's got a fairly large home. Would this be an opportunity for someone to downsize and then make their home available?
Absolutely.
So that'd be one way to do it.
Right.
Maureen, did you have something you wanted to add on that?
I think they've identified like 28 facility or places in Florence that they could do accessory housing. I believe that was the number where people could build, according to the Senate bill that came through, they can build accessory housing or turn different parts of their building into, which would be great. What I wanted to say was that I am hoping the city's been talking about housing homeless people and homeless people that come through. I would like to see the city additionally address the other needs that the homeless and lower income people have as well. I've talked to people that said that if they pick up homeless people, a lot of times they'll take them into the valley because that's where the mental health services are. And I would like to continue to see the city really working on the issues that are causing homelessness in the first place.
Well, I know one of the big problems in the last 10 years has been the change in the healthcare statuses, and that mental health healthcare has really gone away in many communities. And I don't know what it was like here before, but I've been in a few communities where it almost entirely disappeared. And then you have folks that, you know, are not necessarily capable of making certain decisions or certain judgments. And that goes, I think, Gerald, into what you were saying about the issue of theft. I mean, we have people, and it's not just those. I mean, there's theft involved with people who, you know, live and work in the area too. What do you see as some of the ways that we could work on that? Is it a police issue? Is it a social issue?
Neighborhood watches could help. Police, law enforcement could definitely pursue some of these thieves that are stealing property and breaking in and vandalizing places.
Well, I guess as they do, I mean, they're sometimes they're hard to catch because, you know, yeah. In the middle of the night, next thing you know. And aside, though, take your valuables out of your car. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a two-seat race. There are three of you here. Additionally, what are some of the things that you bring to the table, Maureen, that make you a good candidate, that would make you a good city council person?
I have an extensive background of working with people from, like I said, the homeless liaison. I've been an educator. I've worked in self-sufficiency programs. I've directed I've been a director and an executive director of organizations that worked with people from all aspects of life with aging, education, food banks, that kind of thing. So I think my experience of working with lots of people really makes me a great candidate. And I've been very involved in the city since I've been here. I mentioned being on the EMAC. I'm also the chair of the Sayuslo Climate Alliance, which is very involved with different environmental kind of issues. We're the ones that put on the outdoor or the Earth Day celebration last April. It's been the first Earth Day that had been here for a long time. We had lots of participants talking about how they're involved in different things with the environment. So that's one of the things that I would like to bring to the council.
Now, what about you? Obviously, you've already been there a little while, but still people are going to want to say, hey, this is why I want to vote for Woody. Tell us why.
I think it's just my history. I'm totally nonpartisan for what's best for the city. We examine the issues. Every 2 weeks we get our packet for that the upcoming meeting, and it runs up to about 150 pages, which gives you a lot of homework to do. We have our workshops that we have also that helps keep the city council on track, covers the issues before we bring them to the city council meeting. So people I've heard say, well, your meetings go so fast, it looks like you guys already made up your minds. Well, we've had the facts presented to us, so it makes it easier when we come. And you see that as we vote pretty much as a solid unit whenever these issues are brought to us. Staff does the research for us and presents and reports to us. So makes it a whole lot easier to digest and understand what really is the meat of all the ordinances and different things that we have going and brought before us.
Geraldine, I have to say that being the younger of the set here, I mean, the four of us actually in the room, you probably – and don't let me put words in your mouth. You probably bring a different perspective as far as generational thinking. What do you have that makes you a good candidate?
Yeah, I'm definitely young, and I'm a young business owner, and I think I bring to the table a voice for the younger generation in town, the working families, and other business owners. I am here to have a voice for the community and represent what should be done for the community.
I've talked to a lot of people around town, and there seems to be two groups of people. One that don't want to see more growth, one that says growth is inevitable. How do each of you feel about growth?
I talked to a friend the other day who is a senior in town, and she said, we want to keep just seniors here. We don't want all those other people in. And this is a good retirement town, and we don't want to change that. And after I did my sort of shocked reaction to her, I said, well, yes, that's great, but what about the other people that we need, the people that own the businesses, the people that have the health, work in the health industry, the people that do everything else in this town? This is a beautiful community. That's why I retired here. But it's a beautiful community for everyone. I think that there are ways that growth can get out of hand. We have great big huge apartment buildings or great big huge industry here. Yes, I think that would destroy the essence of what we are as a community. But I do believe that in order to survive, a community does have to entertain a certain amount of growth as long as we do it intelligently. And I've been to a lot of the council meetings, and I really think that the city has a good handle right now on the way the growth is happening in the community so that it does benefit everybody.
Well, Woody, the pretty much same question, but you know, growth right now is being controlled by, like I said, the amount of housing that we have for people. We have open positions at the hospital. We have, you know, people that can't find a place to live that are making a lower wage, a lower income. How do you feel about growth and how quickly or how we should handle it as it goes forward?
Well, the city's trying to manage the growth at a rate where we can support it with the city services that need to be there. We've expanded the sewer system. We've taken in some new areas. There's going to be the cannery development out there by Fred Meyers, which is going to bring in dozens of jobs. We need to have places for them to live. The ADUs that was passed, that's going to be something that we haven't seen very many applications for it yet. We have, as Maureen said, identified some sites for it. Mm-hmm. The city has done things as lowering some of the fees, restructuring some of that to aid homeowners into adding to their property. So whether they're adding a room for somebody to rent or putting on an additional building inside their area, it could be anywhere from 200 square feet to about 1,200 square feet. So there's that opportunity that many people I don't think are really aware of yet, and it's going to be beneficial down the road. It's going to take, like anything, any change. People take some while to adapt to change, but it's inevitable that we grow.
Geraldine, you feel the same way?
I do. Yeah, I think this town needs growth in it. We can't keep it. It's happening. There's tourists coming and going, and people need places to work and live.
Okay, growth is inevitable. Yes, we know that growth is going to happen. Is our infrastructure ready for that growth, do you feel?
I think we definitely need to develop more businesses and build more houses to provide a good working environment for the people that come.
We see in the summer here our population on the weekends and pretty much all through the summer swelled by 20 to 30,000 people daily or by the week, either way. And it's the city has 3 months of that or 4 months of that. And then the rest of the year, you know, we're self-sufficient here. We have to be. That's why we can plan some of this growth and keep it at a pace where it's more easily managed. I wouldn't say easily managed, but more easily managed, and should help us plan our future. We do a two-year plan with the city. We're doing biannual growth plans, and some of them are longer than that, 5 years. So we are looking forward to what we're called a city in motion, and I think that's something that we are going to have to continue with.
I just wanted to say, without throwing the place that I grew up under the bus, but I grew up in Newport, and I kind of am not as comfortable going back to visit that town anymore because it's a beautiful, beautiful town, and I was very happy to grow up there. But I don't know that they handled their growth as well as we're handling it. It's a fight to drive through there. Even getting on the back roads is difficult. They had some sudden growth, and then they have a lot of empty businesses. Please, Newport, I'm sorry, but I really think that Florence has a better handle, and I would like to be a part of it, than continuing to have a good handle on growing in a way where you're not making it uncomfortable to go to town. You drive through the waterfront in Newport, and it's not a good experience. You drive through Old Town here, and it's a beautiful experience, and I think that we're on the road to keeping it that way.
City Council race is coming up the first week of November. We have two open slots, three people running for the seats. We're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back with more from Geraldine Nuccio, Woody Woodbury, and Maureen Miltenberger.